All right, hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Nick and Garrett Get Serious About Jokes. I am Nick.
And I'm Garrett.
All right, and as always, we are brought to you by Eastside Legal LLC. For your legal questions, legal issues, and you live in the Nashville area, feel free to call the lawyers at Eastside Legal LLC. We are also brought to you by, once again, Card and Illustration. They just finished up doing some work for the Ryman. Now they are doing some logo work. But if you have anything that, you know, any of your illustration needs, I would start with Card and Illustration. And you don't have to live in the Nashville area for that. You could just have access to the internet and you are good to go. So that is Card and Illustration. All right, Garrett, couple of things. First podcast where we are not on the phone with each other. We are in person. So
we're in Nick's place. Yeah. It's a lovely place.
Yeah, welcome to my mansion. This is great. Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
The house that comedy built.
So many wings and chambers. I mean, it's huge. Just let the record show. It's massive.
It is massive. And he hadn't even seen the sex dungeon yet. Like, that's the crazy part.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Speaking of looking forward to things, let's let's just talk about our best sets. And then we will, if we have time, we'll talk about our best sex stories.
I got to say, that was a top-notch segue.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right. Let's just jump into it, man. Your best, one of your best sets. We'll start there, and then we'll kind of go back and forth.
I guess mine was, it was this show that I did in this small town called Columbia, and there was like, it's a book show. It had one spot, and you know, I asked, and they put me on, and I went up. I wasn't really sure what to expect. Basically, the way they had it set up, it was mostly locals. The audience was all local, and most of the comics were local, and most of them hadn't really done comedy before. Some of them, like, a few times at most. Several of them, it was their very first time doing comedy. And then there were a few people like me who were, like, you know, from Nashville or whatever, who actually had done it, you know, a lot more, you know, so.
Yeah.
I was a little bit nervous because, you know, it was all locals, and every time someone made a joke that was about, like, something local, it would do very well.
Yeah.
Like, they would be like, oh, I don't know, they had, like, these jokes where, like, apparently there was, like, another town nearby, and it was, like, a running joke that those people are dumb, and it's like, I didn't know even what that town was, so it's like, I was a little bit worried of, like, I wonder how that's gonna play out. But then I went, and it went really well, it was really good energy. They were all really receptive. Like, people were there to, like, you know, see comedy, which is awesome. Some person heckled me, and I was able to shut him down, like, immediately. And the great thing is, he also performed. He performed right after I did, and he got up and he just completely bombed. And like, it's mean to say, but, like, it was really satisfying.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, and they've asked me back a couple times, and it's always fun. It's one of those things where, you know, shows have different levels of difficulty. And this one, it wasn't free, but it felt pretty easy.
Yeah. Now, did you go with Chance Willie
one time? I went with Chance. The first time, I think the only person I recognized was Bo Schuster. I think he was there the first time.
Okay.
And then Chance was there the second or third time.
All right. Yeah. Well, I remember him telling me that he did a show with you.
Yeah.
There, and that, you know, you killed and everything. So.
Yeah. He did as well. It was a lot of fun, because when he was there, it was me and him, and I think Aaron Weber was the third, like, comic from Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just all three sets went really well, so it was a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. I know. I think one of my best sets.
Yeah.
Happened in, it wasn't Columbia, Tennessee. But Cookeville, Tennessee, which is, I think, equal distance away from where we are now, just in a different direction.
Right, yeah.
Slightly different direction. And it was a Rook Jolly's show. I don't think that I think that they canceled that show, but it was at a sports bar inside of a hotel. And locals, you know, all locals, and same thing, like, kind of comics who only performed there
yeah.
and who live in town were the only people who were there who were performing besides me.
Right.
I guess Brooke, too. But I ended up, I didn't know what to expect, but I ended up killing, and it was one of my best sets that I've, obviously, because we're talking about it here, but I can't really explain why. I remember there was a lot of, the crowd was talking a lot to me, but not like to throw me off, not to heckle me, but just like a participation kind
of
thing.
Right, right.
And for whatever reason, they would say something, and then like I would give a setup to a joke, and then they would say something, and then my punchline was like the perfect response. And so it seemed I was coming up with the stuff off the top of my head, but it was just really, they weren't, you know, they just gave me a little more time.
Right.
It wouldn't have seemed as quick, but yeah, I just had some really fun moments there, and I was looking forward to going back. I wanted to return, and a couple of the people even came up to me afterwards and was like, hey, we really liked your set. Like, you're welcome back anytime. Come back, blah, blah, blah. Which I never had, you know, like, people buying me drinks and stuff. I was like, oh, like, I felt like it was one of those moments where you're like, yeah, I could see myself doing this for the rest of my
right.
life. You know, just not because I just was so great, but just because of the feedback I was getting. It was like, man, I would love to do this. And I had one of my former students showed up. He was in the audience. I think he was from Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out. His name's Daniel. He's got a band, Pumpkin Seed. They're releasing a new album soon. So cop that or be looking for it on iTunes, Spotify. Anyway, he showed up. So that kind of made me a little more nervous, but it went really well. We just chatted for a bit. I bought him some Hennessy. Bought him a shot of Hennessy. Let him taste that.
Nice.
I don't know. It was just a good
experience.
And then the drive home was like one of the best ones ever, because it was like, even though it was like, I guess, maybe an hour, it felt so amazing because of how well it went.
Because you killed it. You're going home like,
yeah,
I'm the best.
And that's the best feeling when you drive home after just, you know, you did a great set. So that was just because of the crowd interaction.
Yeah.
And I had to do, I think, 20 minutes, which is, it's kind of a lot. Like, I had 20 minutes, but I would have had to stretch it. And I got to do so many jokes that I wasn't expecting to do, because I was just able to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd didn't seem to be too upset about me going over. And so anyway, that was, I know.
That's great. That's a cool story. I feel like, I'm just like thinking, like, when we talk about like a great show, there's usually the component of like the comic doing really well, but also the crowd has to show up, and that's almost as important. Well, maybe more important. Just the like, if people show up and they don't want to see someone succeed, they can prevent that completely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So if you know, having an audience of people that want to laugh, that
mm-hmm.
want to have a good time and like see, you know, actual comedy, that goes so far, and that's so important. And I feel like if that's not there, it's like you almost can't do well.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's very difficult to turn it around, and that's just a different challenge, I guess.
No, it is. I mean, I think when the audience wants to laugh, it just makes things so much easier. I mean, it's true in teaching as well. Like, if the class has a good attitude about learning, it just makes a huge difference. And, you know, and I know it may seem like, like common sense. Like if you're not a comic or, you know, this may seem, but you, I don't think you realize the extent to which that's true until you're actually on stage. Because it could be, and because it may not even be the whole crowd. It could be one or two people who, they don't even have to be heckling. They could just be sitting in a place where everyone can see them and then responding with bad body language. And that could be all it takes, you know, right, to throw things off. Or to make things go really well, too, you know.
So, right, definitely.
Like, that energy can spread, so.
Yeah. It's, yes, so it's almost like when we talk about our best shows, it's kind of like a little bit, not only is it like we performed well and we, you know, excelled at whatever, but it's also like a great, like, thank you to the audience that we performed to, because they were a big part of making it a success, what it was.
Yeah, and well, I'll go into my second, like really good set.
Yeah.
It was the first time I did Zanies, and it was part of the Lightning 100 local competition. So it was like the top 30 comics in Nashville or whatever. I mean, or top 30 that signed up, you know.
Right.
I remember initially getting rejected, and then Jessica Carter dropped out, or she ended up getting booked for a show in Chicago. So then it left an opening, so I got to get on. So I was the 31st best comic in Nashville last year. but I get on, and I'm already nervous. And then I saw that I had some friends who showed up, and they were in the audience. And sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes I'm really nervous, but. And it can kind of play against it, but and then sometimes it kind of gives me energy. Well, that night it gave me energy, and I could see them laughing, and I could see them, you know, being, you know, involved and enjoying the show from the stage, and that kind of gave me some momentum. And so you talking about the crowd thing? I mean, it's always good to have that person or persons in the crowd that you can kind of make eye contact with throughout your set. Just, you know, okay, you know, that attitude of at least this person's with me, you know.
Right.
And when you look through the crowd and you see a couple of people like that, it helps out a lot. And so there wasn't anything remarkable about the set itself other than it was at Zanies, which you go in and you see all those pictures of famous comics. And
yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's I can't see it being the same stage. I mean, it's been renovated, so but it, just the fact
right,
you know, that they've performed in the same venue, and
yeah.
And then you're there, and it's because I mean, I remember going there and thinking how cool it would be to be able to perform there. This is before I was a comic, and then so there was that moment, and then also the fact that I had good audience members, not just my friends, but I think that that helped. They gave me a lot of
right.
confidence. So, I don't know. What about your? What's another one of your?
I guess this is one that's like significant to me because it happened so early on. But it's actually, I mentioned it last week when we were talking about worst sets, because it
yeah.
was something that kind of led up to one of the sets I mentioned that
yeah.
went poorly for me. But we, me and some other people that were coming from Murfreesboro, so we like carpooled and, you know, we went to a few mics. We went to, Tin Dog, and, one of the people that we carpooled with was, Ethan Rutledge. He's another local comic. And we did our, you know, sets at Tin Dog, and if you haven't been to Tin Dog, there's always a best set of the night and a worst set of the night, and the best set and the worst set both get like a $25 tab, or they did. I think they changed it to like a six pack or something.
Yeah. Remember that.
But it can feel a little bit like yikes, because like. There are people that come in and they do so terribly, and then they get this reward that's like,
oh yeah,
you
yeah.
did that bad, as bad as you thought that you did.
That's right.
That's
right.
Exactly as bad as it was.
Yeah.
But we did that, and then Ethan won at 10 Dog, so it was like, it was cool, exciting, and fun. You know, because we're all like excited for him. And then we go to this mic at Wilburn Street Tavern, and it was one that I'd been hearing was really tough and stuff, so I was super nervous, and you know, just kind of it's kind of a different vibe. After I started going to it, I really, really liked it, but at the time I was a little bit like nervous. And then I went up and probably did better than I had ever done doing comedy, and it felt especially good because it was in a room full of comics, so
yeah,
I didn't feel like anyone was giving me anything.
No, of course no, not fair.
And so we did that, and then they announced like every week they announced like a king or a Wilburn Street comedy king or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they have like a plastic crown that you wear,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you take a pic, and then you know, they put it on Facebook or whatever. And I ended up winning that night, so it was, you know, super exciting. Not only because, you know, the group that, you know, that we came from, Murfreesboro, you know, we had, it almost felt like we were, you know, this group that had won every mic that we went to.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sense, even though it was just individuals. But also it was really cool because, you know, when you first start, you're looking for affirmations, I think, of like, is this really worth my time? Like, am I really good enough to do this even for a hobby?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if there's nothing here that I can get better at, you know.
Right, no, yeah.
And so doing that and like having that go so well felt really good to me at the time, because it was like, okay, this is something that I could actually do. Not to say that I'm assuming any, you know, crazy success, but just that I had the capability to succeed, you know, in this area. So that was significant to me and meaningful in that way.
Yeah, that positive reinforcement goes a long way for
yeah.
sure. Well, I'd say I've never won best set at either of those places, and both rooms can be tough. I know the 10 Dog mic has moved to Twin Kegs too
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But there was something about the 10 Dog room, because there was no stage. It was just the pool table, and you're just standing on the floor next to the pool table.
Yeah.
And I feel like I never really did well there. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just did below average, like below average of my capabilities there. I always found it was interesting. There were people who I never saw at mics any other time,
yeah,
except for there. And some people, I didn't even know their names, but they would always be at that mic.
Yeah.
Which it seemed like a very, it was always a unique experience doing
yeah,
the 10 Dog mic.
I've heard that a lot from people, and I always wonder what it is. Like, is it 10 Dog? Like, is it the venue? Or is it Micah, the host? Like, does he just bring so many people because he's the greatest? Or, like, I hear that a lot, and I'm always curious as to what the reason is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like, I mean, Mike is really cool, really laid back.
Oh, yeah,
likeable.
Definitely. Love Micah.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that Mike seems to do, it seems like whenever we do that Mike, it's a lot of comics and a handful of locals or regulars who like comedy, and it seems like those are the only people that come on Tuesday nights. Like, mm-hmm, it doesn't seem like there's people like you never feel like you're interrupting someone's conversation,
mm-hmm,
because they're trying to do something else. Like, I don't even think that place has any TVs. So you're it's almost like the people there are there for comedy. I mean, it's an open mic, but I wonder if you could just do a showcase each week if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Just because it just seems like it's very conducive.
Yeah.
To it. Even though I think it's a weird performing area, because it's like we just kind of clear out a little space and then
set
the mic. And that's what kind of makes it fun too. But
and also there's like seats, like there's like the bar area with, you know, all, and then there's like the tables and stuff. And then there's the space where, you know, you perform, but then there's space behind that where there's like a few seats as well. So like if someone walks in and like randomly decides to sit there, there's people that are like looking at your back, your whole set.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's weird. But I really actually like Tin Dog. I was kind of disappointed when they changed venues.
To Wing Cave?
Cave too is nice.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, it just means that there's another mic at Twin K's now. There's, you know,
right.
It seems like there's two a week there now, which is it's fun. But I know what you mean. There's a Tin Dog had a certain charm about it that you're gonna kind of miss. Like I think every open mic spot is filled with these moments and. Has a uniqueness that when it's gone, you miss it.
Yeah.
But I think Tin Dog would probably be near the top because it is so unique. It did have the people who only seem to perform there. Mm-hmm. And then, but then it's also, like they've got that outdoor area where you can go outside and talk and be loud. A lot of comics did that without messing up the set, you know? So,
right,
that was a good mic for sure. Any other best shows you wanna, or best sets?
I don't know if I have anything significant. We were talking a little bit earlier before we started recording about how it can be a little bit weird to talk about. It's almost harder to talk about your best sets in comparison to your worst sets.
Yeah. Because
it's like, how long are you going to talk about how great you are?
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, you can... Yeah, it's like with your worst set, I mean, it's automatically... Because any story that has conflict is good. And so there's that conflict that you can frame it, and you can set it up, and then you can talk about what you learned from it or how it changed you or whatever. Whereas nobody wants to hear about how Jack and Jill woke up and had a great day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be conflict, even if it's just with the hill, you know?
Yeah, it's
and
like,
I think, go ahead.
It's like, you know, you have this conflict, then you learn a lesson. If you have a bad set, it's like, what was the lesson you learned? Well, I should keep practicing and, like, try and get better.
Yeah,
and that's a lesson that basically anyone's going to be like, that's smart.
Right, right.
But if you have a great set, it's like, what did I learn? I learned that, you know, I'm great.
Yeah.
It's like, people don't want to hear that.
Well, I would say one of my favorite sets of yours was the fondue show, the Murfreesboro fondue show, at the house.
Oh, yeah, the Burrow Fondo.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about this on the pod before.
I think we should. Definitely. I don't think we have.
That was one of the weirder shows that I've been a part of.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I would say all the comics did well. But
definitely.
I felt like you did the strongest. And I think that it's a very weird, it's because it's in a house, but it's like a house that's gotten licensed to throw legal parties. I mean, you know, with performing and charging for admission and stuff. Like, apparently, I mean, there's all there's all these legal hoops you got to jump through to do it legally and to advertise in a certain way. And the owners of that house have done that, and so, but it's not a great house. You walk in and it's like, I don't want to eat anything here. I really don't even want to sit down.
It's kind of confusing because a lot of the walls are like painted black, which like, I'm not an interior designer, but that's not a good idea.
No, right. Yeah, I know. And then the bathroom wall, if you want to.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I got there, people asked me, have you been to the bathroom? Which is a weird, weird question at any point. But to start out, like, I just got in there. They're like, have you been to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I just got here. I just walked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, you need to go and look at the bathroom. And I'm like, like, what happened in the bathroom? I'm like, scared. This is that, like, that's nerve wracking, like,
yeah,
in, like a nerve wracking question. I saw people go in and like have the same thing. They'd come out and they'd be like freaking out. Like whatever's in the bathroom, you just have to see. Like people wouldn't even tell you really.
Right.
They didn't even want to tell you what it was. They're like, just go see. So I went into the bathroom and I looked at the wall, and it's a pretty long wall for a bathroom.
Yeah.
And from one side to the next, it was completely filled with hentai.
Yeah.
Like just various pages. Like it was like their passion project that they had like picked stuff out, like this will go good here, and
yeah,
this woman like getting penetrated by this tentacle monster will go nice under this
yeah
minotaur penis.
Yeah.
Crazy minotaur stuff penis. Like that. Like yeah. And it was just like, to be honest, it was kind of amazing because it was the last thing I expected, and I was just looking at it and I was just like, why would this be here? But
it
was great.
It seemed like there was more care and effort put into that wall than any other part of the house. Like, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, the yard and everything else. A friend of mine who wasn't at that show, but because the Fondue Festival was a 3-day sort of weekend event.
Right.
But we performed on Sunday. She was there on a Friday, and she said that she knows like the guy who did it, or one of the guys who did, and she says that there's a picture of her on the wall.
Oh wow.
She claims it. I mean, she's like, you, and I was like, can you verify this? She's like, well, if you know where to look, I mean, it's pretty obviously me, so I guess someone did a hentai drawing of her.
Wow, okay.
Put her on the wall.
What an honor.
Yeah. Great for her.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You don't know what's happening. So
yeah, but that whole venue was cool, and everyone there was super nice, and like I really enjoyed it. But yeah, the bathroom is something that I probably will remember longer than anything else.
Yeah, well, me too. But yeah, it was a good show.
It was great because, at the time I wasn't sure how well it was gonna go. Because Burro Fondo is like, as you mentioned, it's like this whole event, and they have all kinds of stuff. It's like LARP, like so live action role play. If you haven't participated in anything like that, and I actually had a friend who like for a long time has been trying to get me to do LARP stuff, and that's just like not my scene, and I'm just like not interested in like hitting someone with a foam sword and getting sunburned, and so like, and I don't have any problem with it. It's just like a thing that I'm just like
so.
I went and I was like, this is a whole new thing for me. And it was interesting to watch. But like the way that we did our show, or the way that they had it set up, was that we were going to be in this like room in the house, and there were like events going on simultaneously. So it was like, if you guys want to do this fantasy scavenger hunt with riddles, you can do that outside.
Yeah.
And if you want to like come in and chill and listen to comedy, you can do that as well. So I wasn't sure because I had never been anything like that. I wasn't sure exactly how well it was going to go. And when we started, there weren't a whole lot of people in there. But as I think as the show kept going, probably due to the fact that every comic did very well, people just started trickling in, which is a really great feeling, I think, because it's just like, starting out small, doing well with that, and then more people come in, and then it just kind of progressively grew. So there's a great energy about it.
I mean, it just seems like whatever else was happening, we kind of ended up stealing the show. Because I know there were some people out playing, doing the live action stuff outside when our show started, but I think they all at some point made their way into our our settings. I will say this. I'm going back to one of your early stories. I feel like if you live in the Nashville area, there is a clear difference between Nashville and Murfreesboro. But I think if you're listening to this and you're not from Middle Tennessee, every place has this, right? Like, there's the major city that everyone's heard of, Nashville. And then there's Murfreesboro, which is, we're 20 minutes outside of Nashville?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're in Middle Tennessee, we say Murfreesboro. But if we were to go to Chicago, we would just say Nashville.
Yeah.
Because what are we going to do, explain Murfreesboro? But when you mentioned Ethan, I feel like we have enough Murfreesboro comics to where there is like a clear distinction between Murfreesboro comics and Nashville comics. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just one or two of us, we would just be like, "Oh, we're Nashville comics."
Yeah.
I'd say we have at least 10 guys,
yeah,
and girls, because I would count Holly, Amber, and Mo Vaughn as Murfreesboro comics,
right?
Because they live, and I think we have at least. We have double digits, which I think is a pretty good number.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with best sets. I just feel like that's something that I would,
yeah,
that
hopefully,
pop in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Hopefully we can grow it too.
Yeah.
Because that more comedy is always a good thing. So.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah.
Yeah, but I totally feel what you mean when, like, you know, when you're out of state or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, you just forget Murfreesboro. Like,
right,
like,
yeah.
Last year I was out of the country for a few weeks, and people would ask me where I was, and if I said Murfreesboro, they'd be like, oh, where is that? And then I would have to say, it's this town near the capital, Nashville, and they would go, oh, the music place.
Yeah.
And I would be, yeah, so it just made sense to be like, I'm from Nashville. Oh, the music place. So then, like,
yeah,
to cut,
yeah,
down time of, like, this unnecessary part of the conversation. So,
yeah, it's, I feel like that's, the more you travel, the more it's just like, all right, I don't want to explain,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
It's like the less explaining, the better. So,
yeah.
Well, we're at the 32 minute mark. I feel like that's a good spot.
Yeah. That's
a good stopping point. We need to do is, figure out what we're going to do for next week, but we'll do that off air.
Yeah, I have an idea, so.
Right, all right. Well, tune in next week to see the fruition of that idea.
Great.
All right. We will talk to y'all later. Have
later.
A safe and sexy week.